We've been talking about the fact that though the world is strong, and we must understand that much of culture Satan is orchestrating to keep us away from God, according to Titus 2, we won't turn there again tonight, God's grace is abundant and enables us and trains us to be able to say no to the world and have victory during this present age. I would like you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Last week, if you remember, we talked about grace, God's free gift of his empowerment to enable us to be what we ought to be, and no matter what the circumstances are. And we talked about the fact that pride will stop the grace of God from being exercised in our life. In fact, pride, God resists. And I want to look at the verses now in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, there it is, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in good time. And so we have here a very, very direct passage on the danger of pride and the absolute necessity of humility. So we're going to take just a few minutes and look at the other side of pride, which is humility. And let's go back to Proverbs. And if you want to try to be on the fast track with me, you're certainly welcome to do so, as we're going to be looking at several different categories on this matter of humility. Humility, what is it according to Proverbs? Well, it's really, and this is a good definition regardless, humility is seeing ourselves as God sees us, as God is and as we are. It's not a matter of being low and mealy-mouthed and just, oh, woe is me. That's not humility. Humility is honesty about our condition as human beings and who God is. And so we find that God's wisdom, God's power, makes my wisdom and power seem like ignorance and impotence. Chapter 30, verse 2, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who has ascended up into heaven? Or descended? Who gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? So you see, we've got to understand that this is one of the greatest traps in humanity is, and we talked about this morning, the danger of fleshly intellectualism, feeling that we can figure things out ourselves. That's one of the greatest dangers when folks, without God's Spirit, if you figured it out, you haven't figured it out. Okay? If it's not according to God's Word, now you're in trouble. We've got to be humble enough to realize, without God's revelation, without God's illumination, I don't really know true wisdom. And that's a hard thing to admit. It's God's way, not my way. When we look at God's perfection, his authority, oh, it makes us realize how desperately needy we are and how without power we are. Chapter 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And so, folks, we cannot add to the Word of God. We cannot think we can figure it out. You know, one of the great traps for many believers is we're the first one that can actually make it our way. Folks, nobody's ever made it without God. No one's ever got to heaven. We know that. But you know, no Christian's ever made it outside the full will of God. You can think for a while you're getting away with it, but until you humble yourself and say, without God's way, I cannot do it, you will not have the blessing of God. And then you look at how faithful God is. You look at his tremendous provision for us as a heavenly Father. And then you look at how unfaithful we are and how we need to depend upon him. Chapter 30, verse 7. These are all found in chapter 30. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. In other words, the writer here is saying that I cannot come to the balance of life and have the provisions I need unless God gives me exactly what I need. Not too much, not too little, God knows. So these are just basic aspects of life to be able to look at ourselves and realize that without God, we don't have anything. All right, let me just quickly, I'm going to jump forward here because of time. There are tremendous blessings when it comes to truly letting God humble us. You see, we make the decision to put ourselves in the right position. Humility is simply getting in the position, God is here, we are here. Everything that we need is from God. We are totally dependent upon him. That's where you get saved. That's where you grow in the Lord. And so when we're willing to put ourselves under, in fact, even back in the 1 Peter passage, it talks about even being in submission to other authorities that are under God. That matter of being humble, being a servant, realizing our need, putting ourselves in our proper place. In chapter 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So what do we get? What are the blessings of humility? Well, God gives us wisdom. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Isn't it tragic when you see arrogant people? They don't realize how bound they are. But with the lowly is wisdom. I tell you folks, if nothing else, is worth being humble to get wisdom. To know how God thinks. Listen, wisdom is looking at life from God's perspective. It's thinking right. Humility, just God will reward. Better it is to be of a humble spirit, this is chapter 16, verse 19, than to divide the spoil with the proud. And then humility, as we find here in the passage in 1 Peter, God lifts up, he honors. Did you know that the only true honoring and lifting up has to come from God, and it will always come by his grace? Chapter 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Think about it. Aren't the people that you honor the most the ones that you know are real, transparent, and honest? Isn't that? I mean, really, when you think about it, who do you trust? It's people that you know are spiritually empowered and are genuinely humble. Before destruction, chapter 18, verse 12, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Chapter 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Now, folks, I want you to get this. Before there is ever any lifting up, before there is ever any honor given, a person who is genuinely going to realize who they are with God and realize it's all by God's grace and are willing to do whatever God wants and are willing to be a bondslave of Jesus, a servant to others, they may go for a long time pushing aside the temptation to try to lift themselves up, self-exaltation, self-ambition. And for a while, it may seem humanly, my, they are losing out on some aspects of human appreciation by others. But then God steps in. God changes the equation. And by the way, it doesn't matter whether man ever sees the lifting up. It'll sure matter at the judgment seat of Christ. Whom God honors is truly honored. And I tell you, you're going to be surprised. You're going to be surprised. Big names are not going to be in the front at the judgment seat. There's going to be saints of the Lord that have been in some of the most humble situations in local churches, but have been mighty in prayer, mighty in being a servant, never worried about getting credit, never worried about what people thought, knew that they needed God, constantly were dependent upon Him, and they will be giants when you see them spiritually revealed. I can think of people that I know. I can think of people that have passed on here in this very assembly. And I'm the one I've known behind the scenes, hardly ever acknowledged. God knows. They will be lifted up. And just finally, God blesses. Chapter 3, verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners. This is speaking of God. But he gives grace unto the lowly. That's the whole idea that you find in the New Testament. Chapter 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You know, as much as we know this, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. It takes the power of God and total submission for you to really be willing to say no to self, no to pride, and really be a servant. Isn't that a beautiful picture in John 13 of the Lord Jesus washing the feet? He loved them to the end, betraying him, denying him. My friends, there is a fragrance about the life of a believer who has the heart of the servant Jesus Christ, who trusts God to meet the needs and understands that everything about them is totally the grace of God. Folks, we are what we are by the grace of God. Don't take credit for what God has done. Don't take credit for who you are. Don't take credit for your achievements. Don't take credit for anything about you. That's why you need to have extended times of prayer. And I tell you, the section of prayer of thanksgiving is so important. Give God credit for everything. It'll cleanse your soul. We are what we are by the grace of God. Oh, may let God lift you up. Let's just be glad to serve Him. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Let's enjoy being a Christian. Let's just let God's way be right. Let's get the focus off of self and maybe be freed to be the servants of the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord here. I've preached very quickly because of tonight, but you know, this matter of pride and humility is a big deal. And I didn't even get a chance to really apply it to 2016. It is just amazing to me, the arrogance, the pride, the control of things. We're seeing it every facet of life. It's getting more and more ugly out in society. Christians should see it. It ought to be absolutely repugnant to us when we see the outright arrogance and pride and self-advancement and the image-making and all that we're doing to advance ourselves out there. And look what's happening. We have never had a society in the Western world as much trouble as we are that has had so much. But yet, Christians still try to advance themselves, all worried about what people think, not trusting the Lord and realizing we are what we are by God's grace. And you, tonight you'd say, you know, Pastor, I really do want to, without being introspective, realize I have nothing without Christ. I really want to be consumed with Christ and Him alone. I want His goals to be my goals. I want His life to be my life. I want freedom and victory over self. And this is a battle. But I tell you, there's no power, there's no blessing until self is constantly put on the altar, a living sacrifice. And oh, I tell you, self-advancement, self-awareness, self-image-making, it's just repugnant to God. Who are we? We're not God. He's God. We're very special to Him. We're children of God. We're co-heirs with Christ, but because of Him, not because of us. And you'd say, you know, just this simple time, I just really want to spend more time with the Lord, and I want more and more victory over self, and I want it to be all about His glory, and I'd appreciate your prayer for me. If that's your heart cry tonight, would you just slip your hand up? Say, that is what I want. I desire it. God bless you. Appreciate your tender hearts all over the auditorium. That's wonderful. Maybe there's someone here, and you just need to humble yourself and realize, I'm a sinner. Without God, I can't get to heaven. Friend, that's how you get saved. You got to admit your need, trust the Lord, and He'll save you. He'll lift you up. He'll give you eternal life. You're here tonight, you say, Pastor, I'm going to raise my hand too. I'm not certain I've ever really humbled myself, admitted my need, and trusted Christ. I don't know for sure I have eternal life. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up, and we'll pray just in general for you, but we will pray for you here tonight. Anyone like that? Oh, we'd love to pray for you tonight. Lord, work in hearts. We're thankful for your working. Lord, we even need your grace to humble us. And Lord, thank you for the trials that you send. We are so self-dependent. Lord, would you give victory? So many ask for victory. I pray, oh, I ask even tonight, tomorrow, would you draw each of these folks that raise a hand to you? Would they spend time with their God? Because when we spend time with you, we see ourselves for who we really are. Oh, Lord, humble us in that sweet way. And may we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So, Lord, would you work in a mighty way for any that are lost here? Lord, help them to see their need, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.